The UBC Thunderbirds women's volleyball team. And right now their players embracing each other in celebration. And a valiant effort by Laval Rougeor on their home court falls short to deny UBC Thunderbirds of becoming four-time defending national champions. You're listening to the 2011 CIS Women's Volleyball Championship Final. Just having concluded, the UBC Thunderbirds defeating the Laval Rougeor in straight sets. By scores of 25-16, 25-19, and 25-14. And captured their fourth consecutive national championship title here in Quebec City. We'll take a break for a public service announcement back at CITR Studio One with your host, Wilson Wong. And we'll, on the other side of the break, we'll bring you some of the trophy presentation and some post-match interviews here live from the Stade Couvert at PEPS at Université Laval here on CITR Sports.
And that is Jason Wang broadcasting the CIS Women's Volleyball Final from Quebec City. And UBC wins its fourth straight national championship. And that gives them quite the historic feat here, as done here by the UBC Thunderbirds. Congratulations to them from us here at CITR. We are going to play a short public service announcement here. And we'll come back with a post-game interview. Actually, several post-game interviews here on 101.9. You're listening to CITR, home of UBC Athletics.
Queer FM with host Aiden Saint presents news, interviews, music, and entertainment for the GLBTQ community on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Sunday evenings, 6 to 8 p.m., cool guests, live on-location broadcasts, and provocative topics, so you never know what'll happen next. Won't you join us live or later via podcast? You can get us at www.citr.ca or contact us at queerradiovancouver@gmail.com.
The state of hip-hop right now, man, as far as the way I see it, I think right now hip-hop is advancing as far as skills. You got brothers, you know what I'm saying, getting like more witty.
There ain't nobody to be pretty for. Let it rattle, let the clatter kill him, let the cataclysm wash. Who really listens? Precision with a verse draws a cry. Draw a line between an easy melody and peace of mind.
You got DJs doing all kind of crazy shit on the turntables. I like where it's going, and I like, you know what I'm saying, the creative process that brothers is trying to take it to right now.
Rally Rails and Brendan Butter in the place to be. Crimes and Treasons Radio, 101.9 FM, Vancouver. CITR.ca, every Tuesday, 9 till 11.
Dynamite!
All right, back here on CITR 101.9 FM. Queer FM is coming up next here. And for those of you wanting to listen to some of the sportscasts that we brought to you this weekend, visit our website at citr.ca or email us at sports@citr.ca. So UBC wins its fourth straight national championship in women's volleyball. We thank you for listening. And once again, Queer FM is coming up after this song. Thanks very much and have a great rest of the weekend.
That was dead air. Hey, everyone. So this is Queer FM Arts Extra. I'm here. This is your host, Justin Saint, and I'm here with Clement.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, also known as C Blaze or Sienna Blaze, and the lovely Diamond Minx.
Well, hello, everybody.
So we're gonna start off. We have a great show for you guys. We're gonna talk about Legally Blonde the musical, which is in town and closes today. And before we get started on our review of the show, we're gonna play you a clip, an audio file. This is from the original Broadway cast. Oh my God, you guys! Which starts out the show. Enjoy.
So easy. Excuse me, have you seen this? It just came in. It's perfect for a blonde.
Right, with a half loop stitch on China silk?
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, you can't use a half loop stitch on China silk. It'll pucker. And you didn't just get this in because I saw it in last May's Vogue.
Oh my God, you guys.
I am not about to buy last year's dress at this year's price.
Elle saw right through that salesgirl's lies.
It may be perfect for a blonde, but I'm not that blonde. I may be in love, but I'm not stupid. Lady, I've got eyes.
Oh my God, Elle Woods, sorry, our mistake. Courtney, take your break. Just ignore her, she hasn't been well. Try this latest from the Milan. Go on, try it on. I take care of my best clientele.
And you are listening to Queer FM Arts Extra. This is Justin Saint with Clement.
Hi, how's it going?
And Diamond Minx.
Hello.
And you just heard "Oh My God, You Guys" from Legally Blonde the musical.
Oh, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, you guys.
Oh my God. So the three of us came and we saw the show on Tuesday. So what did you guys think?
Oh.
I think I have to go to the dentist.
It was so... I don't even, I can't even describe it. It was so, I loved it.
Yes.
Yeah. I loved it.
I came in with no prior expectations and came out really having enjoyed the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, it turned out, yeah, it actually turned out to be good. We were talking, the show kind of, they don't really take themselves that seriously, because it's a really cheesy plot,
oh,
you know?
Incredibly.
Like, you know, this bubbly...
and very saccharine. Yeah.
It's so true. Like, yeah. if you guys know the story of Legally Blonde, then it's, yeah, it's a cheesy movie. The movie is very cheesy, but I loved it. But they didn't take themselves too seriously. That's, like, in the musical, like, nothing was blown out of proportion. It wasn't gone. It didn't go too far. It was just perfect, you know?
I just know that I'm never going to look at the UPS guy again the same.
No. No, especially after a... After a few of the poses that he did.
Ain't got nothing on Michael Flatley.
Yeah. Oh, definitely not. Yeah.
And there was a tremendous amount of pink here during the break while listening to. So we described Elle Woods as kind of a pink version of Evita. She just has that many costume changes. Which one, which of her multiple outfits was your favorite?
Oh, the majorette.
The major. Of course, the majorette you.
It was shiny.
Yeah. I have to say the majorette. I'm sorry, but that thing was shiny. It was flashy. It showed legs.
It was pink and sparkled. Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
It was beautiful. Not going to lie.
And then and I heard, C-Blaze, that you actually hung out with some of the guys
in
the cast.
Yeah, well, a friend of mine, Tommy, and I have been tweeting them. We've kind of stalked them. Kind of, not really. Mm-hmm. But no, we asked them, like, you know, we do want to take you guys out on a night out and show you guys the scene of Vancouver. And one of them actually messaged us back on Twitter and we got to hang out with them, which is really awesome.
Awesome.
It was a fun
guys.
I know, it was a lot of fun. The cast, they are so down to earth, they're so friendly, and you know, they're just fun people. Mm-hmm. They are fun people.
Yeah, and it's a really young cast. You know, I think part of the great thing about Legally Blonde is it's such a young, vibrant cast, and there's so many dance numbers. They just keep checking, like, dance number after dance number, dance number. And you really have to give props to, like, Elle, who, at the end of Act 1, not only, you know, does a series of dance numbers, but belts a note for 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then does
that
a jump in the air.
A workout.
Yeah.
Definitely. I can't explain. And she's so cute.
Mm-hmm.
She is so cute. She's like a little ball of joy.
Little ball of blonde goodness?
Yeah. So Legally Blonde, the musical, the the star who plays Elle, her name is Nikki Bonny.
Nikki Bonny, yes.
And if you guys don't know her, she's not a true blonde.
Well, don't tell anyone, but neither am I.
No. I remember when I was blonde. I had fun. She is so cute. We got the chance to interview her right after the next day, and we'll be going through that in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Aiden is in the studio, and he's just getting the interviews and stuff ready for us, so stay tuned.
Yeah, definitely. So it was exciting. Premiere night. Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm still in shock.
And I heard that you're actually going to go tonight.
lucky
guy. How can't you score that?
Oh, I just working my ways, you know, doing my thing.
Yeah, and yeah, a little
Being
bit
the
of gossip.
Cutie patootie
you are. Oh, yes. I'm cute. Yeah.
And he is.
Oh, I try. It's just me. So yeah.
Yeah. So I think next we're gonna play another. So we're going to do a bit of radio business. We're going to play one of our promos.
The AIDS Vancouver Helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the helpline is one of many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The helpline number is 604-696-4666 or contact us online at www.aidsvancouver.org.
And we're back. This is Queer FM Arts Extra with Justin Saint, C Blaze, and Diamond Minx. We're now going to play our interview. On Wednesday, we got to hang out with Nikki Bonny. She plays Elle Woods currently on Legally Blonde the Musical. And here's our chat with her. And hi, so we're here with Nikki Bonny.
Hello.
And Nikki, who do you play in the show?
I play Elle Woods.
And so Nikki here has quite the extensive theater background. Could you talk a bit more about your how you got your start and how you got into the show?
Okay, well, I mean, extensive is a loose term. I just graduated from college last April from Brigham Young University, where I studied music, dance, theater. And I auditioned for the show a few weeks later, and I ended up getting it.
There's nothing I can do.
Oh, technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties in the studio here today. The sound quality, it seems to be jumping on us. So, Clement and I did get a chance to talk to Nikki. It's quite the story. She had just recently graduated from musical theater school and, decided to audition for the show and managed to get it. She had done different roles. She'd played Aida. And she's done a bunch of roles around strong women. So she's been Aida. She's been Annie from Annie Get Your Gun. Mm-hmm. So she's had a bit of theater experience. And then, of course, Legally Blonde's the biggest thing she's done so far.
Yeah. Is she a New Yorker?
No,
she's not.
No, she's not, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, she's definitely not a New Yorker.
Yeah, and again, like she's not a real brunette, and she was actually she was quite fun to talk to because she exemplified what Elle Woods kind of is.
Yeah, personally was. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, looks great in pink, even as a brunette.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. She like I said earlier, she's definitely a ball of joy. You know, like she's not tall, which I loved. She was tiny. She's short.
She was quite tiny compared to the rest of the cast too.
Mm-hmm, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you know what? She worked it out for me. She definitely turned it for me. So I was happy.
So. Nikki here has quite the extensive theater background. Could you talk there a bit more about your how you got I think your we got start, the interview, got so the show.
Let's give it a shot.
Well, I mean, extensive is a loose term. I just graduated from college last April from Brigham Young University, where I studied music, dance, theater. And I auditioned for the show a few weeks later, and I ended up getting it. So here I am. I've done a few regional things back home. I was in Aida and Annie Get Your Gun. I did a short stint at Tokyo Disney, and So I've done a few things. I studied musical theater, so that would probably be about my background.
So with your past experience, and is your family a musical theater family?
Not at all. No. I mean, they are supportive, and, you know, they try and put in their two cents here and there, but they're sports people. So I kind of broke the mold a little bit and put down my tennis racket and picked up a microphone.
Definitely. I feel like I have the same experience. My family was not anywhere near the theater, and my background is in dance and circus as well. Mm-hmm. So I want to know, like, being on stage, this is your first national tour. How is it?
It's amazing. To be able to play these types of theaters and every night to have the reaction from the audience, it's just a surreal experience. It's exciting and terrifying and overwhelming, and it's so many emotions. And all in all, it's just wonderful, and I feel so blessed to be a part of such an amazing company and a show that I care so much about.
Definitely. So a lot of people don't know this. You're not a true blonde.
I am not. No, I am a brunette.
So wigs, being the hairstylist that I am, how many wigs do you guys have back there?
Oh, we have a lot of wigs. I don't know, maybe around 60 or something.
But for 50, your personal...
I don't know. But for me personally, I just wear two.
Yeah.
I have a curly wig in the first act and then a straight wig when I get serious. Mm-hmm. So I only have about two wig changes. But there's some girls that are making 5-6 wig changes throughout the show, and it's kind of intense.
That's crazy. And so how is it? Because being a performer myself, you know, wearing wigs and being on the stage with the lights and everything and the dancing and whatnot...
Does it take to, you know, put on the wigs and...
Is it a lace front?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it a lace front? The wigs were designed for me. Together they cost somewhere around $15,000.
That's correct.
And our wig mistress, Kaylin, she puts them on for me every day. I put my hair into pin curls. I wear my microphone actually inside my wig, and then she puts it on for me. And it's stapled on there because I do a lot of head thrashing and hat wearing throughout the show. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely pinned on there pretty securely.
Does it get hot?
Not really, and it feels pretty natural. I hardly notice the wig when it's on.
Now, would you ever go blonde?
Well, I considered it actually.
Yeah.
Before the show. I thought, oh man, it might just be easier if I dye my hair and just give it a try. I've never been blonde before, so this might be fun. And then there's a moment in the show where Elle also mm-hmm. contemplates going brunette. And that's when I realized I didn't need to go blonde in order to be legally blonde. Just like Elle doesn't need to go brunette in order to be taken seriously. And it kind of, in a grander scheme of things, becomes a little bit of the message of Elle Woods, is that you don't have to change who you are in order to succeed. And so I learned that in turn myself.
That's so awesome.
Oh, wait. That's an awe moment.
Aww.
One, two, three.
Aww. Costume. Go ahead.
Exactly. Costumes. There's a costume change in the first act. During. Oh my God, you guys.
Yeah.
Where, the girls kind of go in front of you, and then they go back, and then suddenly you're in a completely new dress. How did that happen?
Wow. I don't know if I could. The secret has been revealed before, so yes. I feel comfortable being able to.
Now, we were thinking bat, like the old Batman TV series. You know, you go down magnets.
Well, you're onto something right there with the magnets. I'm wearing a dress that's completely made of magnets and snaps that wraps around the other dress, and the dress is longer, which gives it the illusion of an amazing quick change. But the dress is actually folded up into the magnet dress, which can be laid flat out onto the ground. So it just basically wraps around me, and we have it down to a science. So basically, all I do is hold onto it. She wraps it around me, and 2 seconds later, I'm in a new dress. It's kind of amazing, and the costumes in general. It's quite a process, and my costume changes, they take, I mean, 30 seconds max. I'm lucky enough to be able to travel with my own dresser, who we have everything choreographed to a T. It's like basically like a NASCAR pit stop back there, and Patrick can attest to that. He's back there waiting to hand me the dog, and I'm putting on my glasses and running back on stage. So it's a whole new element that I never imagined, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, so let's go introduce the one and only little character that is actually a huge star that plays Bruiser. And her name?
Her name is Roxy.
Roxy.
Hey, Roxy. Can we get a little bark for Roxy for the Freighter Radio?
Roxy. Hey, Roxy. Speak.
Wait, did you?
Speak.
Nothing?
Oh.
Speak.
It's early.
She's a little shy.
Maxie.
Maybe later.
She's on early vocal rest.
Yes. It's early.
Yeah. Roxy's just preparing herself for the opportunity of, you know, maybe getting the chance to go on.
So the reason we were so excited to talk to you guys was we found out that, you know, all of the dogs in the show are rescues. So could you talk a bit more about that?
Sure, absolutely. We have two dogs in the show, and both the dogs are rescue dogs. She's a rescue from a parish outside of New Orleans. And Chico is a rescue from New Jersey. The guy I work for, his name is Bill Berlone, and he's been doing this for 34 years now, I think. And he started with the very first Sandy from Annie. Yes. And that dog was, I mean, not knowing what he was doing, he, or not knowing what he was getting himself into, he rescued that dog, and all the dogs since then have been rescued, so...
Cool. And so what's the process of training these animals for stage?
Well, I mean, a large part of it is getting them used to the noise and the crowds, and Bill has his own unique way of doing it, so.
Okay. And for learning how to be L, is there any kind of, like, special training that you have to do to work with the puppies beforehand?
Yeah, I think it was the most shocking factor when I entered into rehearsals is they went through orientation in about an hour and a half, and then I was in training with the dogs, and I was like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? And they took me about an hour each day, and we worked on the tricks and mostly just worked on bonding so that the dogs knew me and trusted me. And that Bill Berlone always talks about how the most important aspect of the relationship with Bruiser is that Elle and Bruiser look on stage as if they really are one and they are connected, and that you know, he loves me just like Elle would love Bruiser and vice versa. And so it really is an important aspect of who Elle is. And, you know, immediately if it looks like the dog doesn't like me, you're going to be like, what is wrong with Elle? So it's a very important aspect of who Elle is in creating the character on stage.
I fell in love with Bruiser last night.
Oh, it's hard not to.
Yeah.
It's hard not to. And he's a little star.
Exactly.
The dog we saw last night is the original from Broadway.
Oh, amazing.
I know. And we have sleepovers, and it's a lot of fun. I really do love the dogs. And I didn't think it was possible to love animals this much. And my heart has just been completely stolen.
Definitely. Definitely.
What kind of animal?
They're Chihuahua mixes. Chihuahuas were just too tiny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, definitely not doesn't look like a Chihuahua at all. I would have picked something else, but, lovely.
Yeah, the dog from last night didn't look like a Chihuahua.
A lot of people confuse the two, and want to know if they're siblings and such, but they're not. I mean, they're definitely Chihuahua mixes, but.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to bring up, what's your favorite piece, or what's your favorite act or number that you've done?
Hands down, it's got to be So Much Better.
Okay, perfect, because I wanted to ask you that. One of the hardest songs to sing.
In the whole world.
And it's one of the hardest songs to sing, and I want to know, because you worked it last night to the point where I was, like, sitting in my chair, my mouth was open, and I was like, wow, because... Knowing in past experience from other people who sang it, it's a hard song to sing, and you worked it. So,
oh, thank
training,
you.
If I'm sitting there wagging my finger, saying work and annoying people, that means it's a good thing.
Oh, good.
Definitely. Where'd you get your voice from? I want to know, because it's
mom
thing.
And dad.
Mom, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I sit next to them at church, and I'm not entirely sure what's going on there. But it is a challenging song, and with all of it's just so fast, and it's so high energy that there's literally, if you watch me, I have choreographed breathing moments in the number. There was a time when I went on vacation for Christmas break, and I came back, and singing that number was just the hardest thing I've ever done. And so whenever I do take a break, I make sure that I probably annoy some of the maids in our hotels, but I literally will like run on the treadmill while singing the song.
Perfect.
And train that way, a little Beyonce style.
Yes, that's right.
Exactly.
I was talking about that a lot with my friends.
Yeah, and yeah. I was lucky to have just an amazing vocal teacher through college who gave me a really healthy foundation. So it was a great place to start in that, like, through time and exhaustion, that it wouldn't wear on my voice, that I was still able to maintain that kind of stamina. And I still talk with her on the road and have some Skype lessons and make sure that I'm maintaining that technique so that the acting can come through and I don't need to focus as much on
Perfect.
Vocal. So, but yes, a lot of preparation goes into it, keeping up my stamina and choreographed breathing moments and you know, pacing. It's been a whole new realm that I didn't ever knew existed mm-hmm. until I did that number on stage in front of people, and I was like, wow, I get it now. And it's something you just don't understand until you're actually like on stage in that moment.
Yeah, it's definitely that aha moment. So tell me, how can people follow you, because you're becoming quite the star now.
You see, I do have a website, just nikkibonnie.com. There is a fan page on Facebook. I don't actually run the fan page, but the girl who does is quite accurate. Mm-hmm. So she can keep up with that. I also have a Twitter, which I'm not very good at, but you know, perhaps as I get into it, I'll be a little bit more motivated to tweet, as they say. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm getting into it. So maybe as time passes and new things happen, I'll be better at the whole technology communication factor.
Definitely. And as my best friend Tommy D said yesterday, that it was so sweet that it hurt his teeth. Because it was so sweet. So we loved the show. I loved the show. So.
I'm so glad.
I'm excited about Radio Business. So before we go, if we could get you to do a, could you run this one?
Yeah, I'll take care of it. Last question. So your favorite thing, you're all done with the show. What's your favorite thing? Eat, drink. What is it? The one thing that you're looking forward to at the end of the night?
At the end of the night? Oh, man. Taking off my eyelashes and laying in bed.
That's what I say all the time.
I know.
See, yeah.
I go through phases as far as food goes, but anyone on the tour will tell you that I'm kind of a wheat thin addict. So if I can go home to a thing of wheat thins and hummus, man, I'm a happy girl.
I'm the same way.
And what's the favorite treat for the post when they're all done with the show?
You know what? They're not that picky.
As long as there's lots of sleep involved and lots of pets.
Lots of sleep, lots of snuggling, that kind of thing. That's their idea of a good day.
The radio.
Yeah. We wanted to.
Become a friend of CITR and receive great discounts at businesses around Vancouver.
Your Friends of CITR card will net you discounts downtown at 212 Productions, Beat Street Records, Blim, Dream Apparel, The Fall Tattooing, Heart and Soul Clothing Incorporated, Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinema Tech, Scratch Records, True Value Vintage, Vinyl Records, and Zoo Shop.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or visit us online at citr.ca.
And we're back. So Nikki Bonnie's interview was a lot of fun. We had to push the mic back and forth between the dog and Nikki Bonnie. So it got a little bit interesting there. But because Clement was so insistent in going, oh my God, we're going to play Legally Blonde so much better with the ridiculously long held note here on Queer FM Arts Extra.
All of this time I planned I'd be patient and you would love me again. You'd come to respect my mind and at last you'd find you could love me again. And I have turned my whole world upside down, trying not to let you go. Watching you walk away is like a fatal blow.
Whoa! Is that my name up on that list? Does someone know that I exist? Is this a mistake? Am I even awake? Pinch me now to make sure. Yes, that's my name in black and white. Maybe I'm doing something found a cure, and I so look forward to working with you.
What? Working with who?
Hey, remember when we spent spring break in the hot tub every night?
Every night.
We said nothing else could ever feel so right. Well, this might be seeing my name. Better. She's what you prefer. But hey, last year I was her. Maybe you will change your mind, but you might look up to find I've gone on to better things, better job, to bigger ring. I don't have the time to cry. I'm too busy loving my name. Up on that list. Kind of a cool ironic twist. Who else can I tell?
Note, Nikki Bonny held that note for 15 seconds and then does a jump and a punch in the air afterwards.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
Well, she was talking about using a treadmill and singing.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, totally.
She did the Beyonce workout.
The Beyonce workout. Yeah, I did the geeky thing and just timed it. And on that audio clip, it was 11 and a half seconds, sorry.
Yeah, so that was
the original
Broadway cast. So that was Laura Bell Bundy who originated the role. On Broadway, she's fantastic. She had to do the show 8 times a week.
Ooh.
8 times. Is
8 times. That's insane.
I can't imagine the dentist bills.
It's such a sweet show. My God.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Besides interviewing Nikki Bonny, we got the chance to talk to the production's manager, Molly Goodwin.
Yeah, Molly Goodwin. But before we do that, so were there any other actors that you thought kind of stood out during the show?
I was particularly impressed by the performance of, and I wish I knew the name of the actress, who plays the hairdresser.
Oh, yes.
Paulette.
She was fantastic. Paulette.
Her name is Jillian. I know this.
Jillian something.
Hold on. I'm going to find this. Jillian Walash. Ooh, beautiful name.
Yeah, she had a really pretty, counter soprano. No, counter soprano. What the hell's a counter soprano?
Alto.
Yeah, she had a really nice alto, really pretty. And she was quite the, I think out of all the actors, she was the best comedic.
Yeah, she had really good timing, very strong stage presence, you just wanted to watch her when she was up there.
And personally, I really, really liked Emmett. I thought that he stole.
So cute.
Yeah, he has such a pretty tenor, and he stole a couple of the scenes sometimes with his acting skills. Because I think for the age, a lot of the cast they were more of dancers and singers, and he kind of just stood out as a really good actor. Also, the girl who plays Vivian.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you're gonna hear this in the interview, which shocked us, but. you'll hear it later.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite was the guy who played Kiki, that was in the salon assistant. But we'll find out some.
Didn't say much, but said everything.
His name. he played this guy named Kiki. His name. what is his name? Richard Jarrett, the guy who plays Kiki. Loved him. Mm-hmm. I love.
Yeah. Just
great hedge. Queen.
Yeah, great queen. You know, he had like a rainbow, that one of those rainbow belts on, and he had pink Uggs.
Yeah, yes. Pink Uggs.
And I was quite fascinated. At the end of the show, they just somehow managed to put pink in every single outfit.
Yes, every.
Yeah, they did, including single. UPS guy.
Yeah, actually.
UPS.
Yes, that's correct.
He had a pink stripe in his hat.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. That's right.
I was impressed.
Oh, yeah. And then who else was there? The girl who played Pilar, one of the Greek chorus.
Yes.
Her name is Britt West. Stunning. Yeah. Stunning.
We were
black
discussing
girl.
Earlier that it would be really great to have our own personal.
I want
Greek
my
chorus.
Own Greek yeah. chorus. Mm-hmm. I want my Greek chorus to come up and pop up and. Not we said this, not everything.
No, because sometimes your inner voice needs to remain your inner voice.
Yeah. Exactly. So so I do want a Greek chorus. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I guess now we're going to play our interview from the other interview from the other day.
Yeah, with Molly Goodwin. Amazing, amazing woman, and had a blast talking with her, and
she's a natural blonde.
She's a natural blonde. Yeah. Yeah, and they did not know that when they hired her.
Yeah.
Who knew? So let's take a listen to this, and it was a really fun interview. Enjoy.
And we're here at the Queen Elizabeth Theater for Legally Blonde, and we're hanging out with the stage manager for the show, Molly Goodwin.
Hello.
Hey, Molly.
How are you guys?
Good.
So, Molly, can you talk a bit more about your stage background?
Yeah, I actually started as a performer. I danced very early in life, and I played violin. My dad is a string teacher, so I started Suzuki when I was 4.
How do you
ever and I played through high school, and when I went to college, I was actually going to do vocal music ed. I sang in high school, and I sang in college. I did show choir. I did musicals. Guys and Dolls and Little Shop of Horrors and the things that high school kids get to do. I got to college and I was crying on a biweekly basis because I had a horrible ear training teacher and I have a really good ear, but for some reason ear training was hard. So I decided that that's not what I wanted to do. And I did a theater class and my teacher said, "Hey, have you ever stage managed?" And I was like, "No. What is that?" And they gave me the longest list of credentials ever, and I was like, "That's the most terrifying thing I've ever heard." Okay. So I did. I stage managed a production of Lysistrata, which is a Greek comedy, and it's great. It's funny about women power and about getting guys to calm down about life a little bit. So I did that, and then I just kind of did stage management. That's what I did. I became a stage manager at my undergrad. I worked for a couple years after, and then I went back to grad school. I have an MFA in stage management from UNLV.
Awesome.
So I got That's to cool. be in Vegas.
Yes.
I did an internship with Celine Dion at A New Day. And
oh my
god!
I danced in that show, so yeah, like when it was in the first production. So
oh my gosh, yeah, it was amazing. The dancers for that show were incredible, and it was amazing to be backstage with him. So I did that, and then I graduated. I went into cruises, and I cruised for 2.5 years as a stage manager, doing all their live entertainment stuff. And then I landed here, and, well, not here, but I have actually, Vancouver is actually one of my home ports, so I actually know Vancouver pretty well.
Nice.
So it's nice to come back and kind of feel like I have a little bit of home.
from the cruise?
From cruising.
So what's your favorite place down there? Come on, spill.
Oh my gosh. There's a sushi shop close, it's on, oh my gosh, what street is it on? It's on Burrard. And near Georgia, yes.
So, Camille Royal or something?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And every Saturday we would come in and I would have to go grab sushi because, like, you're in Vancouver and
I mean,
it's a water city and it's so good. And then we go walk around on Robson and HMV and, you know, just stuff to do. So yeah, and then I, after cruising, I went to New York, and I really wanted to root in New York, and I got a call to tour. And when somebody says, do you want to be the production stage manager for the national tour of Legally Blonde, you don't go,
maybe.
No, no. Thanks.
Work.
You know. So I had like, my I had my own personal.
Will there be food?
I had my own personal, oh my God, you guys moment.
Yeah, totally.
And
you're blonde.
And I am blonde. So I am blonde. I actually have the running joke with my friends that it was a prerequisite. But Roberta Roberts, who is the general manager for Troika and actually hired me, had no clue.
No,
she didn't know until the day that we met in rehearsals in New York.
Wow.
So she was like, oh, this you're is fun. Kind of fun.
That's so awesome. So yeah. Tell me, what is your duties?
What are my duties? I'm in charge of running the show. That doesn't translate into building the show.
Yes.
Our head carpenter is actually in charge of physically putting the show together.
Yeah.
I'm in charge of running the show.
Yeah.
So.
And on that note, so I noticed last night, because I had seen, you know, MTV recorded the Broadway cast during the show. When the show started, I was like, oh my God, where's the sorority house? And stuff like that. So yeah. So for the tour, do you actually have the like the big sets going with you, or is it because stages are usually smaller and they don't usually fit?
Well, it's not necessarily that we don't play houses that it could fit. It's that we play such a variety of houses that it doesn't make sense for us to carry a piece that we could only use once in a blue moon.
Mm.
They had to try to get the show to the size that would fit in most of the venues that we're playing. We're playing a couple of decently sized houses, but we're actually playing a handful of smaller houses, so we really do have to go. Then it is a pared down version of the show. For people who know the Broadway show, it is different, but I don't think it's lacking. I don't think you really miss anything.
Yeah.
The story is so strong, and the characters are so vivid, and you just fall, if you let yourself, you just fall in love with the story, and you don't really need too much. I think we've got a good blend. I think we've got enough scenic that you get to the places that you need to be, but you don't lose the story. You still always are on the story,
yeah.
Which is why we do theater.
And for such a really large cast, you know, you guys do such a good job of just blocking the show and making sure that even, you know, with all of this stuff going on, it's still really fun to watch, especially with all the dance numbers.
Yep.
So how does it work? Is it really challenging to work with so many dance numbers and so many people on stage at the same time?
It can be. This is actually a smaller show. I've done opera, and opera can be like 40 or 50 people. So that's a little bit different. A cast of 24 is a larger cast. I mean, you've done musicals. There are musicals that are six or, you know, or smaller. So it can be challenging. You definitely, when there are so many things moving and there are so many people moving, the more things that are moving, the more chance there is for collision. These guys know the show really well, and they know what to look for. They know when that palette's coming out or when it's supposed to come out, and they kind of, yeah, I mean, things are very well choreographed. They're completely timed. I'm calling from a script, and my cues are going the same time every single night. So it's not that there are huge changes all the time that would cause them to lose where they are or what's happening.
Become a friend of CITR and receive great discounts at businesses around Vancouver.
Your Friends of CITR card will net you discounts downtown at 212 Productions, Beat Street Records, Blim, Dream Apparel, The Fall Tattooing, Heart and Soul Clothing Incorporated, Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinema Tech, Scratch Records, True Value Vintage, Vinyl Records, and Zoo Shop.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or visit us online at citr.ca.
And this is Queer FM Arts Extra with Justin Saint.
Hi, I'm C. Blaze, also known as Clement.
And I'm Diamond Minx.
Yay. Yeah. So we're talking about Legally Blonde, the musical that we just, that's been in town. Tonight's, they have one more show tonight at 7:30.
Mm-hmm. And you should catch it if you can.
Yeah. So Legally Blonde is playing at the Queen Elizabeth Theater. That's downtown, close to the really big library.
Mm. Seems somewhat appropriate that it's at the Queen E.
Yes.
Considering all the Queen E actions that happened in the musical.
Very much. You know, I was actually a little surprised at some of the double entendres and...
Yeah, definitely.
The adult themes in the show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've been. It's sort of been sold as a family show.
Oh, but it's a little naughty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. There's some points during the show. I was sitting up in my chair. I was like, "There's children around."
Did we just do that?
Yeah, seriously, it was so true.
Yeah,
but you know what? Like, one of my favorite songs was in the courtroom scene. Where it was right after the Bend and Snap, and mm-hmm. the famous Bend and Snap.
The Bend and Snap.
There was a song that we should definitely play in this.
Yes, so it's so the song, so the scene, for those of you who haven't seen the movie or the show, Elle is in the courtroom, and she's trying to prove whether
she's,
or not
she's defending a famous workout guru.
Workout guru queen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And on the what's it called, on the platform, or on the she's interviewing this guy who claims to have had an affair with her client.
He was his name was RG Tacos. Yeah. He was put on the stand by I guess, I don't know the
prosecution.
Term.
By the prosecution, yes.
By the prosecution, to say that, you know, he had an affair with
Brooke Wyndham.
Brooke Wyndham, yes. Thank you.
The defendant.
I swear I'm a blonde.
Yeah.
And so the Bend and Snap was supposed to be, it has a 99.999% accuracy with straight men. And if they're gay, it doesn't work. So she...
I can attest to that, you realize.
Yeah, I bet it does. I'm going to try this out in drag. Watch out, people. so she's basically telling everyone he's gay. But no one... Well, and then Professor Callahan was like, is he gay or is he... European. Mm-hmm.
And so that's the song we're going to play. And this number totally killed. The Vancouver audience was just laughing their heads off during this number.
I love it.
So our show is coming to an end. And in a while, we're going to be playing, we're going to be moving on to Queer FM with Aiden Saint and Samantha Mack. We're going to be playing from Legally Blonde, the musical, They're Right There, followed, this is a little shout out to my Irishman, we're going to be playing the song Ireland, which is sung by Paulette, mm-hmm. From the cast, who was one of our reviewers, she was one of our favorites.
Definitely.
Yeah. So this is Queer FM Arts Extra. We're here every other week. Next week, you're going to be hearing Chips with Everything. They'll be back. Next week, and you'll be hearing us then. This was Justin Saint.
And this is C. Blaze Clement.
And Diamond Minx.
And thanks for listening. And this is our Legally Blonde show. So, yeah. Yeah, be sure to catch it tonight.
Apparently, I'm the only blonde in the room, though.
Mm. We'll see about that.
Right there. Look at that tan, well-tinted skin. Look at the killer shape he's in. Look at that slightly stubbly chin. Oh, please, he's gay. Totally gay.
I'm not about to celebrate. Every trait could indicate a totally straight expatriate. This guy's not gay, I say not gay.
That is the elephant in the room. Well, is it relevant to assume that a man who wears perfume is automatically radically fake?
But look at his coiffed and crispy locks.
Look at his silk translucent socks.
There's the eternal paradox. Look what we're seeing.
What are we seeing?
Is he gay?
Of course
he's gay. Or European?
Oh.
Or European, it's hard to guarantee. Is he gay or European?
Well, hey, don't look at me.
You see, they bring their boys up different in those charming foreign ports. They play peculiar sports
in shiny shirts and tiny shorts. Gay or foreign fella, the answer could take weeks. They both say things like ciao bello while they kiss you on both cheeks.
Oh, please.
Gay or European, so many shades of gray.
Depending.
depending on the time of day, the French go either way.
Is he gay or European? Or
look at that condescending smirk. Seen it on every guy at work. That is a metro hetero jerk. That guy's not gay, I say no way.
That is the elephant in the room. Well, is it relevant to presume that a hottie in that costume
is automatically, radically,
ironically, chronically,
certainly,
virgin, medically gay, officially gay, officially gay, 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 gay. Damn it! Gay or European?
So stylish and relaxed.
Is he gay or European?
I think his chest is waxed.
But they bring their boys out different. There is culturally diverse. It's not a fashion curse
if he wears a kilt or bears a purse. Gay or just exotic? I still can't crack the code.
Yet his accent is hypnotic, but his shoes are pointy-toed.
Huh? Gay or European? So many shades of gray.
But if he turns out straight, I'm free at 8 on Saturday.
Is he gay or European? Gay or European? Gay or European?
Wait a minute. Give me a chance to crack this guy. I have an idea I'd like to try.
The floor is yours.
So, Mr. Argitakos, this alleged affair with Ms. Wyndham has been going on for...
2 years.
And your first name again is?
Nikos.
And your boyfriend's name is?
Carlos. Sorry, I misunderstand. You say boyfriend, I thought you say best friend. Carlos is my best friend.
You bastard! You lying bastard! That's it! I no cover for you no more! He bust! I have a big announcement! This man is gay and European!
Whoa.
And neither is his grace! Oh. You gotta stop your being a completely closet case!
Don't.
It's me, not her, he's seeing, no matter what he say. I swear he never, ever, ever swing the other way. You are so gay, you big parfait, you flaming one man cabaret!
I'm straight!
You were not yesterday. So if I may, I'm proud to say,
I'm gay.
Do you know the number one reason behind all bad hair decisions? Love. You lost without your love. Your heart is on the floor. I can help you. I've been there before. When I need to relax, I just put on some tracks from this CD I bought for the store. Rejected. I play this and it never fails. I pretend like I'm in Ireland with Enya and the Wales. When my telephone gets disconnected or I spend every night alone, I pretend like I'm in Ireland where the Irish bagpipes drone. Smell the grass as a rainstorm is ending. People smile while I stroll past their farms with a red-headed sailor named Brendan, and we dance without moving our arms. In a bar once I met this guy, Dewey, and he bought me like 14 beers, and he told me that he was from Ireland.